Hey, welcome to the Malloy program tonight. Thanks for tuning in. We are we're in the midst of some really, really bad weather here in Metro Atlanta, all over North Georgia. So if all of a sudden you're listening and the program just disappears, hopefully our affiliates along the way will fill in for us, and XM and Sirius will fill in, and so on and so forth. It's very, very bad down here right now. We've had tornadoes for the past 2-3 hours, every place except right over the Malloy compound. So anyway, we have our flashlights and our candles and loaded weapon. No, I'm just kidding. Flashlights and candles, and we're kind of just biding our time here. We may luck out and have this thing misses. I certainly hope so. But if we disappear, that's why. Okay. Yes, Miss Kathy.
Meanwhile, if there's anyone out there listening who has a deal on a gas or solar powered generator that they'd like to sell us cheap, it's Kathy at MikeMalloy.com, because we just realized we need a backup plan.
Yeah, well, when you work on your own like this, sometimes you don't have a backup plan. You just do what you can, right? I spent a couple hours today giving a speech, is that a talk, whatever, to the convention here in Atlanta, the American Atheists Association. Is it American Atheists? Is that their official name? And it was really a great event. They're here all weekend, and the significance of holding their annual convention over Easter weekend is Passover and whatever holiday other religions are celebrating right now is certainly not lost on the participants. But it was a great crowd, and I just wanted to thank them for inviting me. It was held at the Emory University Conference Center on the Emory campus and here in Atlanta, and it was fun to meet everybody, and also to meet a couple of people who listen to this program regularly. Our good friend Kate, who has been working with disaster victims in Lower Mississippi ever since the Katrina event occurred, showed up, drove over from wherever she was. Kate gets around, man. And as it turned out, we took Molly with us, Kathy and I, and thank goodness for Kate, because she and Molly talked about fairies for the better part of the lecture. And but anyway, to meet the folks at this convention was a lot of fun. If we get these kinds of gigs, speaking gigs, in your area, and we'll let you know when we do this, I would hope to meet you. Come on by and say howdy. All right. Somebody sent me an email today with a link to Crooks and Liars, where there's a video of the man who is becoming the, I don't know. There aren't too many words to describe the psychopath, Glenn Beck. This guy is really out of control. I don't know what kind of a game Fox News is playing. If they're just looking for ratings and they have unleashed the psychopath or what. But, again, I would no more watch, a murderous son of a bitch like Glenn Beck, or Fox News under any circumstances, quicker I would open a vein in my forearm. But the video that was sent to me, about 7 or 8 minutes from this crazy person's program, I guess it was yesterday, where Glenn Beck says, "I'm President Obama," and then he held up a gas can, poured the contents, water, obviously, on an actor, and then held up a lit match, the message being that Barack Obama is going to burn you alive. Now, if you're a borderline psychopath with a lot of guns, If you're a right-wing militia head case, if you listen to some of these crazy people with internet programs and shortwave radio programs, and you see something like that on Fox News, your inclination might be to pick up a weapon and go kill liberals, because obviously that's what's going on. Glenn Beck needs to be taken off the air, categorically. There is no doubt here. This is not a dissenting opinion. This is not fun. This is not like what Jon Stewart does on The Daily Show. Glenn Beck is a psychopath. By his own admission, he suffers from, I believe he said he's a bipolar. He has horrendous bouts of depression. He's an alcoholic. Why is it so many of the people on right-wing talk radio and television are so effed up like this? I mean, Limbaugh was a drug addict. I don't know what Hannity's thing is. Savage is a psychopath. Why are they this way? And what is it that Glenn Beck wants from his crazy listeners? What is it that he want? Does he want open warfare? Rupert Murdoch needs to be told that this guy has got to go. He must be removed from the airwaves. He just simply has to be. What he's doing is not entertainment. It's not funny. It's not conservative. It's not Republican. What it is trying to instigate murder and mayhem in this country. Now, if Beck wants to go down in radio or television history as the son of a bitch who ignited a spark that brought about another Murrah Federal Building bombing, he's on the right path. What has to happen here is that the advertisers on his program need to be notified. Everyone has to do this. I'm sure there are websites out there with a list of the advertisers, and they need to be told, I'm not buying your product ever until you stop supporting a man who is seeking to bring about insurrection in the streets of this country, who won't be happy until more blood flows. He has got to be stopped. If you saw the video, and I think it's out there on YouTube, you know, Obama wanting to burn Joe Q Public alive. Now, this is what Beck said. This is what he told his Fox News audience yesterday. And President Obama apparently feeling like, I'm pretty much done. Not a lot more to do. You know, I got all these things done. You know what? Why don't I work on immigration reform? Later this year, he hopes to create a path for the estimated 12 million illegal aliens here in America to become legal. But yet we haven't fixed the border and shut the water off. What a sweet, sensitive guy he really is. Here's one thing I think the media is missing. I don't know about you, but when I saw that story last night, I did this. What? You got to be kidding me. Let me ask you a question. Maybe I'm alone, but I think it would be faster if he just shot me in the head. You know what I mean? How much more can he disenfranchise all of us? We have Bill Schultz here. He's from Red Eye, and I'm just going to demonstrate at least how I feel, all right? I feel when I read this story last night, I don't know about you. Let's say Bill is the average American here, and I'm President Obama. This is the way I feel. I feel like President Obama is just saying, you know what? I've got this $3.5 trillion budget here. He then proceeds to douse the actor with a clear liquid from a gas can and then holds up a lit match. And as David Neuert wrote at, I guess at Crooks and Liars today, I'm sorry, David, I don't know where you posted this. Then Glenn Beck wonders why people think he's promoting a violent, paranoid, right-wing worldview. That is bereft of anything even approaching reality. Because, of course, what Obama is planning is hardly like the so-called amnesty that Beck seems to believe is coming. Now, regarding the border, for instance, New York Times story that he read the night before that he was talking about, this is what the Times story said. In broad outlines, officials said the Obama administration favors legislation that would bring illegal immigrants into the legal system by recognizing that they violated the law and imposing fines or other penalties to fit the offense. The legislation would seek to prevent future illegal immigrants by strengthening border enforcement and cracking down on employers who hire illegal immigrants, while creating a national system for verifying the legal immigration status of new workers. So, what does that say? No amnesty, but a path to citizen. citizenship, border security a top priority, an emphasis on stopping future illegal immigration. And the problem here is there is no problem. Of course, that would never stop Beck from this hysterical shrieking and warning Americans that Barack Obama is about to set them all on fire. Time to learn what's been
lost. Why are we all fighting? Oh, why do we keep on lighting these fires, these bombs? We don't know what's gone wrong. Forgetting where we've come from and all of this.
That good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
We were young together. We were on the ball. We did not believe in the writing on the wall.
21 past the hour. Now, there's something you can do that I think would make a lot of sense. Go to MediaMatters.org. You know, do it now. Seriously, do it now. Their story, Fox News is throwing a party. You need to go there. Go to MediaMatters.org. Follow the hyperlinks that they have in the story. Take a look at the two videos that they have there. The one I'm talking about by this psychopathic son of a bitch, Glenn Beck, and this noodlehead, Sean Hannity, also has one in there. You know, this is not political speech. This is promoting the idea of death and destruction in the streets of America. There are laws against it. Both of these guys have, but especially Beck, has got to be removed from the air. He must. Now, Fox News, run by this senile old bastard Rupert Murdoch, is not going to take him off. To these people, it's a big goddamn joke. The whole thing is just hoo-hoo-ha-ha, let's make fun of the Negro president. That's all it is. But what they're doing is pushing the militia heads in this country into something that's going to result in an awful lot of death and destruction. Glenn Beck's advertisers need to be notified. There needs to be a concentrated, powerful, emailed notification. And I'm talking about thousands of emails going into these advertisers. If it is explained to them slowly and patiently that their products will not be bought, because they look at Glenn Beck as their whore. They are the pimp. Always remember that. As long as the whore is producing, that means bringing in customers. No offense to sex workers here. The pimp will continue to put the whore on the street. Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity are whores. But they're the kind of whores that inspire people to violence. So you need to notify the pimp, as distasteful as it is. You need to send an email, thousands of emails to the pimps, and say, listen, your whore is trying to drive the country into another bloody conflict. You must stop. Until you stop, I'm not going to touch your goddamn product. Most of the advertising on Fox News are products you don't need anyway. You know, I guess somebody could make an argument that most products advertised in America are products we don't need anyway. So what, you know, why not react? Why sit back and not do anything? The chuckleheads, the militia, the gearheads, the asses that watch this garbage and are slowly being influenced into some kind of violence, they don't care. They sit there and drink their beer and yell at their wives and beat their children. They don't give a goddamn. Because they're convinced, oh yeah, the liberals are coming. I've told you before, that every single person who in this country now identifies himself or herself as a conservative, which is an absolute misnomer. These are not conservatives. These are cowardly sons of bitches, every single one of them. They're panicked. One of the things they're panicked about is a Negro is president. Oh, my God. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty much, and as you can tell, convinced that Glenn Beck and Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh, from their protected positions, they are millionaires. They are media stars in their sick, perverted universes. They feel that they're above all this. They can sit up there wherever they sit in their imaginations and stir up hoi polloi down here. They can attempt to turn us against each other. They can attempt to inspire these psychopathic Timothy McVeigh types who have no problem in murdering men, women, and children. For the sheer hell of it. Glenn Beck and Sean Hannity and the rest of them are cowards of the highest degree. Cowards of the highest degree. If someone were to walk up to one of these punk asses on the street and challenge them right there on the street to a fist fight, they would pee their pants and run. They are cowards. And the only people they attract, you know, like attracts, like they attract cowards. Cowards that are armed with Kalashnikovs or semi-automatic military assault weapons. That kind of coward. The kind of coward that kept his goddamn mouth shut during 8 years of Bush. Never made a peep because he knew that if he did stick his head up, Bush's fascist brown shirts would come and lop his head off. But now that there is a decent, say whatever you want, I'm not going to get into an Obama discussion tonight, but now that there is a decent human being in the Oval Office, these filthy cowards are clustering around people like Glenn Beck, flies around a pile of cow dung. It's got to stop. It's got to stop. Go to MediaMatters.org. Check out the article, get the list of sponsors that sponsors Glenn Beck, and tell them that you're not going to touch their product. You got to do this. What I should hear and see.
End Your Day Screaming with Mike Malloy.
Before the hour, contact Glenn Beck's advertisers and let them know that you're not buying anything that they have for sale until this son of a bitch is off the air, or until they stop sponsoring him. This is insane. Let me share with you now something that my good friend William Rivers Pitt has posted today at Truth Out. He writes, April 9th was a Sunday in 1865, and in the town of Appomattox, Virginia, the sun was shining down on the end of a war. Confederate forces led by General Robert E. Lee had finally been brought to bay by General Ulysses Grant after four grueling, blood-sodden years. Lee's surrender at Appomattox was the conclusion of the largest and deadliest armed insurrection in American history. April 9th was a Thursday in 2009, and there are some, lo, these 144 years later, who would very much like to see another armed insurrection erupt within these United States. The casus belli for today's would-be revolutionaries is not states' rights, or slavery, or economic independence, but is instead a toxic mix of fundamentalist Christianity, ultra-conservative orthodoxy, and more than anything else, guns. The existence of armed and angry insurrectionists in America is nothing new. As Robert Kennedy once observed, quote, one-fifth of the people are against everything all the time, end quote. The militia movement, in one form or another, has been a part of our history literally since the founding of the nation itself, and memories of Waco, Ruby Ridge, and the bombing of the Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City remain acutely fresh in mind even years later. Lately, the news has been flooded with reports of citizens arming themselves to the teeth, egged on by right-wing media personalities, prophesying doom, the rise of socialism, and that a Marxist dictator now sits in the Oval Office. This frenzy has been spilling from talk radio and television out into the streets for weeks now, and has recently metastasized into acts of outrageous violence. It smells like a new beginning of something this nation has not been forced to endure for nearly a decade. Last Monday, a man named Richard Poplawski ambushed and murdered three Pittsburgh police officers and tried to kill nine others. Poplawski's motivations, according to friends and family, centered around his belief in the existence of a vast government conspiracy to destroy American freedoms while establishing a left-wing dictatorship under President Obama. Poplawski came to believe all this after listening to and reading the paranoid rantings of right-wing luminaries like Alex Jones, Glenn Beck, Rush Limbaugh, and Sean Hannity. Last July, a man named Jim Atkinson walked into a Universalist church in Knoxville and began blazing away with a 12-gauge shotgun, killing two people and wounding several others. He had 70 shotgun shells with him and fully intended to massacre as many people in the church as possible before police killed him, but he was tackled and disarmed by members of the congregation before he could complete his task. Eric Bollert, writing for Media Matters on April 7th, said, quote, when investigators went to Atkinson's home in search of a motive, as well as evidence for the pending trial, they found copies of Savage's Liberalism is a Mental Disorder, Let Freedom Ring by Sean Hannity, The O'Reilly Factor by Fox News' Bill O'Reilly. They also came across what was supposed to have been Atkinson's suicide note, a handwritten four-page manifesto explaining his murderous actions. The one-word answer for his deed? Hate. The three-word answer? He hated liberals. End quote, Eric Bollert. Atkinson wrote, quote, the only way we can rid ourselves of this evil is kill them in the streets, kill them where they gather. I'd like to encourage other like-minded people to do what I've done. If life ain't worth living anymore, don't just kill yourself. Do something for your country before you go. Go kill liberals. End quote. Describing the Pittsburgh incident, Eric Bollert wrote, quote, in the wake of the bloodbath, we learned that Poplawski was something of a conspiracy nut who embraced dark, radical rhetoric about America. He was convinced the government wanted to take away his guns, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette reported. Specifically, Poplawski, as one friend described it, feared the Obama gun ban that's on the way and didn't like our rights being infringed upon. Of course, there is no Obama gun ban on the way. The same friend said the shooter feared America was, quote, going to see the end of our times, end quote. Max Blumenthal, 2 days ago on Wednesday, wrote, quote, hysterical warnings of government gun grabs and a socialist takeover of the U.S. are no longer the sole proprietary interest of fringe players like Alex Jones. In the Obama era, Jones's conspiracy theories have graduated to prime time on Fox News, and radicals like Poplawski are tuning in. Indeed, according to the Anti-Defamation League, the alleged killer posted a YouTube clip to neo-Nazi website Stormfront of top-rated Fox News host Glenn Beck contemplating the existence of FEMA-managed concentration camps. He backed out, Poplawski wrote, cryptically beside the video. 3 weeks later, Poplawski posted another YouTube clip of to Stormfront, this time of a video blogger advocating tea parties or grassroots conservative protests organized by Beck and Fox News contributor Newt Gingrich against President Barack Obama's bailout plan. End quote. Max Blumenthal. William Rivers Pitt goes on. There have been more stories like this in recent months, and if history is any guide, there will be more to come. The timing of all this is deeply troubling, and the media players involved are all too familiar. There's something sinister at work here, something malevolent, something sly. Consider the curious historical synchronicity of all this. After the inauguration of the new Democratic president, there has been a sudden upsurge of right-wing polemicists agitating right-wing citizens into right-wing motivated acts of violence. The last time things came together like this was back in 1993 after the Waco and Ruby Ridge debacles, combined with the passage of NAFTA and the Brady Bill, detonated into a militia movement that was wildly active and exceedingly violent throughout the entirety of President Bill Clinton's two terms. Dozens of militia-related incidents, including the Oklahoma City bombing, took place during those years. In 2001, however, these incidents stopped almost completely, and for the entirety of George W. Bush's two terms as president, hardly a peep was heard from the militia movement that had been so robustly vigorous during the administration of Bush's predecessor. A Democratic president takes office in 1993, and the militia movement explodes, egged on by a whole host of right-wing media voices. A Republican president takes office in 2001, and the militia movement, along with those media voices who sponsored it, all but disappear from the American political landscape. A Democratic president takes office in 2009, and once again, right-wing media voices begin their clarion call for armed revolution, and once again, a portion of their listeners erupt into violence. President Franklin Roosevelt once said, quote, "In politics, nothing happens by accident. If it happens, you can bet it was planned that way." Indeed. William Rivers Pitt writing at Truth Out. The thing that is infuriating to me is that, you know, once again, the right wing talk show hosts, the writers, the polemicists, the skinhead, knuckle-dragging sons of bitches who like to beat up queers and scream at black folk and act like general dumbasses are all, to the last man, cowards. Hannity knows this. Beck knows it. Savage knows it. Limbaugh knows it. They all know. And the reason they know is because they, too, are goddamn cowards. None of these people have the courage God gave a skunk. Since these media types are such cowards, they understand perfectly how to motivate other cowards that make up their audience, threaten them with Negroes, threaten them with socialists, threaten them with immigrants, threaten them with Mexicans, threaten them with a gun grab, threaten them with, just go right down the list. And I'll tell you something, there is nothing worse I've found in my experience than a liar, a sneak, or a coward. When you put them all together, you have Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, Michael Savage, Rush Limbaugh, Hugh Hewitt, all of these freaks that infest media these days. Pat Buchanan, Joe Scarborough, it just goes on and on and on. We'll be back after the break.
Screaming love and more for you. Every one of 50,000 would do whatever you asked him to. Keep them yelling their devotion, but add a touch of hate and wrong. You will rise.
to a greater power. We will win ourselves a home. You get the power.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more Mike Malloy.
Yeah, I really do. It's 10 before the hour. You know, I'm so sick of living with the kind of ugliness that these right-wingers have pumped into my country for so long now. You know, it used to be the threats were pretty much external. I mentioned the other night. My whole life I grew up with under this cloud of duck and cover, and the Russians are coming, and you know, we're going to be annihilated and our skin will melt from our bodies, and then the Cuban Missile Crisis, and you know, just on and on. I'm so goddamn sick of it. You know, I really am. I am just so sick of it. And now the bigger threat is an internal threat. It is from the same people who have the same mindset that, as William Rivers Pitt wrote about, caused the last major insurrection in this country in 1861. It's just difficult for me to even find the words to describe the kind of contempt that these people inspire, these right-wingers. These, you know, instead of doing something to ease the fear or the tension or the uncertainty. They get on the air 24/7, coast to coast, border to border, on radio and television. You cannot, and the internet, you cannot escape these vermin constantly talking about the worst case scenarios they can come up with, and it's all lies. And as William Rivers Pitt pointed out, during 8 years when freedoms were really being just hacked into pieces in this country, not a sound from these fascist bastards. Not a sound. You know, I remember during the Clinton years, all the publicity that some group of clowns called the Michigan Militia got, you know, bouncing around in their campers and their two-way radios and their old ladies out in the woods and their little children dressed up in camo with toy guns. And, you know, and I used to think, what in the goddamn hell are they preparing for? Bill Clinton is about as much of a threat to them as the man in the moon. And then during the Bush years, George W. Bush, when the man actually started to turn the country into a fascist prison, these people were silent. Well, what conclusion can you draw? That's right. They are fascists. They have no problem with the kind of fascism that George W. Bush or John McCain or the hoe from Wasilla or any of these religious right-wing freaks would impose on this country. They have no problem with that because these militia right-wing types think somehow they'll be among the privileged few. They'll be the guards at the death camps. They'll be the ones allowed to keep their guns. You dumb bastards, do you have no historical reference at all? What happened the last time a fascist took over after turning his bully boys loose in the street, the SA and then the SS? What was the first thing that Hitler did? He took away your guns, you morons. And there's Glenn Beck and Hannity and Limbaugh and Savage and the rest of these America-hating swine inspiring people who are just so on the verge to begin with. And what's her name? Who's the skinny blonde? I can never remember her name. Ann Coulter. Some of the stuff she has written. This is where, as far as I'm concerned, Bill Maher can kiss my ass. He's out on some kind of a carnival tour with this woman, where the two of them what, gather in college students and charge them how much and sit there and debate issues? Bill Maher, you're a goddamn freak. How dare you get out there with someone like Ann Coulter who wants to do the same? Ann Coulter would cut your throat in a minute, Maher. You need the money that bad that you hang out with a bitch like this? Someone who is as much of a Nazi as any female guard at Auschwitz or Bergen-Belsen or Treblinka, and you hang out with her? Oh, my God. And you sell tickets so the two of you can sit on a stage and play with each other? What, are you that much of an exhibitionist, Bill Maher, that you do this? I don't know who to listen to anymore. I really don't. I don't know who to trust. I don't know. Do you? Do you have any ideas? But this has got to stop, or else let's just declare that, okay. We're heading into the second insurrection in this country, and let's just go ahead and goddamn get it on. You know, I don't know what to do anymore. Do you? I am so sick of these media types who are destroying my country, who, especially in a time where if anything, there needs to be a serious attitude adjustment by everybody in this country. I don't give a damn. You know, I got asked today when I was giving this speech at the Atheist Convention, do you ever think, Malloy, that any of the Bush crime family people ever be brought to justice? You know the quick answer? No. Hell no. Screw them. They had their moment. They have really screwed things up. Why don't we move on? Why don't we just say to hell with this? With them. And try to repair the damage. Try to work together to reestablish our country. Why don't we do that? I sure as hell am willing to do it. But I am assaulted 24/7. No matter where I go, no matter what I do, I can turn off all forms of media. Everything. Radio, television, iPhone, internet, everything. And burn the newspapers that come to my house. And then I might immunize myself against this right-wing garbage. I am about as tired of this as I could possibly be. I wish I had some answers how to do it. The only thing I can think of is to defund the bastards. That's all I can think of. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us if you feel like it. Welcome back. To the Malloy program. I really, really, truly have gotten to a point where I'm tired of having to deal with these militia types, and by that I mean the Beck types, the right wing crazy people. There was a time in this country where a militia was an honorable enterprise. It was to protect the Constitution, to protect the country. Now these people are inspired by, not by people like Jefferson and Thomas Paine and, Adams and Washington and, Nathan Hale and people. No. Now, they're inspired by people like Glenn goddamn Beck. I mean, I, When I think of it, not just the dumbing down of this country, but the moving downward in this country of what constitutes patriotism. You know, patriotism has taken on an ugly name thanks to these rat bastards. You know, patriotism used to be, you know, happy with where you lived, willing to work to make where you live better, to make it more honest, more decent, more just, more moral, more interesting, more fun, more productive. In terms of, I'm not talking about factory widgets. I'm talking about productive in the sense of art and poetry and theater and thought and science and imagination. But these right-wing vermin took over, didn't they? They did. They took over media, and we are a media-driven society. And for just enough time, they took over government. So what to do? You know, what to do? People like Beck need to be removed from the public. People like Beck need to be removed from the airwaves. Let him go someplace where he would be happy. I don't know where that would be. But this vomitous son of a bitch who gets on Fox News, what is he on? Every night? Every day? And does what he does? I don't know. It has to be stopped. And the only way to stop him is to take away his funding. You know, if Fox News is not making a profit, it doesn't make any difference how many listeners or viewers that tune into that psychopathic little bastard. If Fox is not making money on his program, and trust me, that's the only reason Rupert Murdoch breathes or goes to the toilet, is so he can make money. And the fact, of course, that he's an incipient fascist. But if the money dries up, so does Beck. Oh, enough. God, I'm so sick of these people. You know, this is not their country. They belong in some kind of a goose-stepping authoritarian or totalitarian island someplace where they can all, you know, decide who's got the biggest one, whether it's a gun or their penis. Certainly not their brains. I just wish they would leave normal people the hell alone. You know what I'm saying? Just get out of my country, you scum. Man. And I have grandchildren and children that have to breathe the same air as Beck and his sick audience. That's the part that is really, really disturbing to me. Greg in San Rafael, California writes, Mike, I'm a 5-year listener and almost every night. I live on a small boat in Marin County and gotta admit, not much else to do. But listen, the lady who called saying that torture is not or currently should not be such a high priority on the political agenda, I think he means, had it right. Sorry, after listening to you for thousands of hours and hundreds about torture, I'd rather see you taking it to them in 100 different other ways. When she said, we are doing triage for crying out loud and the torture subject can wait, I had to agree. And I agree with you that it stripped us of our collective souls. Yes, true, but we have to spend a bit more time on the mind and the heart now. F the effing torture. Eventually, we'll get him on that one, too. Greg in San Rafael. Okay. You know, point taken. But if you agree that it stripped us of our collective souls, then what are we supposed to, how are we supposed to function as human beings? I'm not talking about soul in some weird, screwy religious sense. I'm talking about self-awareness and the idea that working together, working in a collective way, we can accomplish anything we want to accomplish. But the way we are set up, the way capitalism has tried to set us up, where we compete against each other, where, you know, mine is bigger than yours, mine is shinier than yours, mine costs more than yours, mine makes better noises than yours, mine smells better than yours. You know, that's what the capitalist system has done to us. So when you say that, you know, torture is should be put on the back burner, but torture dehumanizes us. I mean, once we do that, once we get to the point, you know, what you need to do, Greg, with all that time you have on your boat in Marin County, go back and read some of the theories of O'Brien in the book 1984. And if you can get the right edition, you will have the entire theory of Big Brother laid out by George Orwell. It's an append, what do you call it? An append, what do you call it, Kathy? An appendix. I was going to say appendage. The appendix, an appendix to the book that explains in great detail the political theories of Big Brotherism. It is the backstory to the novel 1984. It is the underpinnings. It helps you understand what O'Brien was doing when he was torturing Winston Smith and getting him to see four fingers or three or five, no matter how many O'Brien held up. It was what the state said it was. And through torture, we dehumanize a person to the point where it's what the state says it is. And once we become citizens who turn the other way or don't give a goddamn when we find out that our government is torturing, I don't care who they're torturing. If they feel that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed or Joe Schmo or whomever was responsible for the bombings of the or any place, execute them. Give them a quick trial and execute them if that's the kind of game you want to play. What's with this torture stuff? What is that about? Torture dehumanizes totally the person doing it and the society that tolerates it. Come on. This is sociology 101. This is not hard stuff. Come on, Greg. Torture subject can wait? No, I'm afraid not. Because if it does wait, if we say, never mind, let's work on the economy. Never mind, let's get our troops out of Afghanistan. Never mind, let's talk about spying on American citizens. All that stuff follows the most important thing that we have to deal with right now. And yes, that is getting our soul back, our sense of I am. As a country, as a society, as a human being, I'm not talking about I am in a sense that capitalism wants us to look at that. Mine is bigger and prettier than yours. Mine can hold more people than yours. No. I'm talking about the I am that evolution has given us, that self-awareness where we can look around at what the hell we're doing and make rational decisions. Should I be doing this? Should I not be doing it? Should I be loading the atmosphere with poison? Should I be filling the ocean with garbage? No, torture and the abolition of torture is number one, Greg. Everything else follows.
So I take a look around and say, what do I see? It looking like the world's going just a little crazy. And I know it can be all over.
The Mike Malloy Show. You are now entering a flying monkey free zone.
Look at the state of the world that we live in, where no one gives a damn about the future of children. Just building a cash flow, making a bank account. Let us expose the truth. Is that what the war's about? Cause I don't understand. But what kind of a man should have to sacrifice his life for an area of sin? All the turmoil's making my blood boil. Cause I don't want to see our people dying for oil. See the so-called media sway.
21 past the hour. We're going to open up the phone lines now and take your calls. The number here is 877-996-2556, 877-99-MALLOY. Rick from Rhode Island writes, Mike, I have an alternate theory as to what Obama is and has been doing since taking office. I think what the Obama team has realized is that the way to defeat the 24-hour news cycle and its issue of the day is to bombard the cycle with several proposals. This has the effect of diluting the so-called outrage of any one issue. Right-wingers brought in front of the cameras on any one of these zombie news shows are thus left to mumble about this or that, spinning their heads, eventually just shouting, "He's a socialist!" or "He's trying to do too much too soon!" and are thus not able to provide any type of opposition based on anything but fear. Just my little theory. Rick from Rhode Island. Rick, I think you're absolutely right. That's a good theory. I hadn't even crossed my mind that the rope-a-dope theory has the added advantage of driving these spinning head bastards crazy. Yeah. And Sam writes, Mike, listen almost every night. One, note Obama's reference in EU when he was in addressing the group of 20. Turning this ocean liner ship of state around doesn't happen overnight. 12 or whatever weeks into the term, it is impossible to judge Obama. The whack job forces he must contend with dictate a careful path in order to turn this baby around and bring it into port. To reverse the work of the psychopaths that have carefully laid out the destruction of our democracy will not take 4 months. It'll take perhaps two terms or more. Consider the players, Cheney, you, Addington, Bush, etc., not to mention their corporate base of power and wealth, and their shills and cheerleaders, O'Reilly, Hannity, etc. Still on their payroll. And know that our president is doing what I finally have accepted, the best he can do at the moment. The lack of spine and the obvious corruption of those in the Democratic Party add to this blank stew this man has to cope with. Then top that with an ignorant, superstitious, and undereducated electorate that takes the shills and cheerleaders seriously. Two, I wait, I listen, I support him with all I can offer a politician because he is our only hope, in my opinion. You keep it lit. Best of health to you, Kathy, Molly, and your loved ones. Be safe, Sam. Well, thanks for the nice exit to your email, Sam. I appreciate it. Now, while we're waiting to get the callers up here, and we have another break coming up, let's check in with Prairie 2, Bruce Enberg, who is our economics correspondent. He writes tonight, potatoes for everybody. The new jobless claims report dipped slightly this week, but the total number of people continuing to receive benefits set another new record. This means that the jobs continue to disappear, and not just to outsourcing. Imports are down. The economy is just falling in on itself. A European company just canceled an $80 million windmill plant scheduled for construction in the U.S. this year. This adds to a long list of similar cancellations, and this should be no surprise since we have no way to pay them. We can't print our own euros. We have an economy now that is based on giving each other haircuts and minimum wage jobs selling Chinese goods we can't pay for. The morning infotainment shows are running segments on people digging up their front yards to plant gardens. While this is a good thing, it illustrates the every man for himself situation we find ourselves in. We were told that if we got rid of the small family farms, we could feed the world. Corporate agribusiness is only capable of producing pesticide-laden corn and meat marinated in antibiotics. Increasingly, even this comes from China, where they can use drugs that are banned here, and more Americans can't even afford that. We are increasingly becoming like the Irish of the 1840s who had to try to grow food on the little plot around their huts while the powerful few at the top controlled the land and everything else for their own enrichment. We need to emigrate to America for a better life. Wait. We've got a problem. Go to prairie2.com and engage Bruce. Prairie2.com. Prairie2.com is his website, and check it out. Have we run any spots tonight about signing up for Molloy podcasts? Have we done that yet? Just once? I would invite you to do that for a number of reasons, not the least of which is this is how we are going to fund this program. Go to MikeMolloy.com, if you would, please. It is 25 cents a program is what it gets down to. Those of you who think I'm a two-bit jackass, sign up. Those of you who think that it's worth 25 cents, sign up. But we need your support, and we need it now. Okay? MikeMolloy.com. We'll be right back.
Because without dissent, it's not America. Here's Mike Molloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. The storms have passed here in the metro Atlanta area, the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains, and we're still in the air. Surprise, surprise. Couple of emails and then to your phone calls. Ann in Albuquerque writes, Mike, you're the voice inside my head. Uh-oh. My father was with the Atomic Energy Agency in 1980, the department that sent out nuclear reactor inspectors. We toured some towns in Austria when I went to visit while in college. I visited a concentration camp near Linz, Austria, called Mauthausen. I remember asking my dad how people living in the city below the camp, who probably could smell the death ovens, could not react or participate against the Nazis. I thought about it later and realized that people were probably very afraid of what would happen to themselves and their families. I believe we could have people who are uninformed, intellectually lazy, and ignorant by choice. Fascism could happen here, but there are enough of us thinkers who would rise up and challenge. I think it is because of our democracy. This country has so much that most of us take for granted. I have family who watch Fox and don't have time to investigate the truth. I get in trouble trying to educate them at times, but they do want our president to succeed, and that's a good thing. Anne in Albuquerque. And this is from Epi 10. I have to redact a lot of this email. Epi 10 writes, the right wing blank blanks need to experience an ego death so the rest of us can live. They are terrified of themselves and we suffer for it. And I'm tired of it. I've been tired of it. I mean, tired, real, real, real tired. Every stinking one of these worthless Republican conservative blank blanks need to eat acid, and not just a dilly dose. I mean, an heroic megadose. So that they will see themselves as they really are. This, of course, will never happen because, as you say, Molloy, they are cowards and are the very ones that would keep the rest of us from dissolving the insane illusion of the paradigm that they impose on us. Oh, how I hope that there will be a second 60s psychedelic revolution, only this time without the parties. But then again, Republicans are insane, and I really think on some deep level they fear facing themselves and the loss of identity. Your hatred, Malloy, is music to my ears and only makes me want to eat acid and melt into the void of nothingness slash everythingness. Epi 10. Yeah. But, I've thought about that many times. I remember back in the day when, and I've said this before, this is no big revelation. There's probably not a psychedelic drug out there, except some of the stuff that Hunter Thompson did from South America, Brazil, the jungles that I've never done. But there's very few drugs that I haven't done. And usually, very seldom was it to have fun. It was for the, you know, it was for the experience. I read too much Carlos Castaneda and, realized that, you know, the whole shaman, approach to drug use throughout, human history, recorded and unrecorded, had a very special function. And sometimes, of course, the, shaman who used these drugs obviously misused them. They were like 10,000 years ago, Bush types, you know, fascists who used their drug experience to impose their will on the rest of the village. We all know that. But in doing that, in experiencing exactly what Epi 10 is talking about, that ego death, you're damn right. That's scary. It is scary stuff. The first time or two you do it, and the 10th or 20th time you do it, it's still a little bit nerve wracking. But the 40th or 50th time you do it, all of a sudden it becomes clear what this is all about, this experience. And I've often thought that, you know, Abby Hoffman used to talk about dosing the water supply of major American cities in order, mega dosage, so that everyone would get off at basically the same time. And of course, he realized that was a bad idea because there's so many borderline psychopaths that the moment of ego death is also the moment they explode into a million brilliant bullets going off. And, you know, people in the general vicinity get shredded. But it would be wonderful, would it not, to put Beck and Hannity and Rush, those three, in a room and dose them. As Epi 10 says, mega dose them. And then watch what happens. And listen when they came out, because you and I both know what would happen when they came out of that. They would either be gibbering, just absolutely gone, completely insane derelicts for the rest of their lives, or, which probably is what would happen, or they would gather in some tremendously blinding insight that, like Saul on the road to Damascus, would render them incapable of continuing the particular journey that they're all on, right? Good idea, Epi 10. To your calls, Alan is calling from Helsinki, Finland, listening online. Alan, welcome to the program.
Yes, good evening, Mike. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Wow. Well, you know, I am loving the best show that money can buy. I am enjoying the reality show, and I want everybody out there to join with me.
Thank you. It's a good deal
for a podcast.
It's a good deal for 25 cents. I mean, it really is.
I like to think of it as the Church of Progressivity.
Oh, that's a good one. Only ease up on the word church. But yeah, I can accept that. Sure.
You know, I stole that from Rowan and Martin's Laughing, if you can remember the church of what's happening now.
I do. The thing about Rowan and Martin that was my favorite was the wall at the end of the program. What was that called, where they all stuck their heads out and said the most inane things that were just for some reason funny as hell?
Yeah, that was great. Oh, yeah, I forget what that was called.
I do, too. Somebody will email in.
Yeah, but Mike, you know, it's so interesting that you're talking about this tonight, and either I'm going to be incredibly coherent or this is going to be my worst call on Malloy program history. But, when I was living in America, you know, the TV is so powerful, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's incredibly powerful, but the minute I left America, it was just like, wow, you could really see everything. I mean, I think it's amazing that anybody, you know, almost comes to a liberal position, considering every time I go back to America, you know, the Fox is everywhere. It's like
right.
You can't escape it. It almost follows you around the corner.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and, but when you get out of America and then you see, you know, how the rest of the world thinks and the rest of the world reacts, I mean, it's incredible. I mean, just even going to Canada, I mean, if, you know, watching the CBC, I would suggest that people watch The National with Peter Mansbridge. You really find out a hell of a lot about what's going on in the world. And instead, you know, on NBC, CBS, and ABC, some nights you get 18 and a half minutes of news.
Mm-hmm.
It's a joke.
Well, there is an aspect of living in this country, and I've experienced it. So has Kathy when we have traveled outside this country. And there's an aspect of living here that is makes one – I've never spent time – I'm going to use the word that will probably piss off the mental health experts, but I've never spent time in an asylum. But once you get out of this country and take a look back over your shoulder at what you just left, even though you clutch your passport as though it were, you know, the most important thing in the world, but still, when you look back, and you think, my God, I live in the land of crazy people. Just and knowing full well that of the 300 million of us, you know, there's a good 150 million that aren't crazy at all, but there's
or quite intelligent actually.
Yeah, but it's that that sense, and I know exactly that feeling that you're talking about. Exactly, you go into a small village someplace, and I'm not talking about primitive. I'm talking about a small town or village someplace, and you sit in a sidewalk restaurant or bistro or cafe, and you know, have a hunk of cheese and a glass of wine, and listen to sounds around you that have nothing to do with news or electronics or beep beep this or ding ding that, and all of a sudden, and it doesn't take long, at least it doesn't take long for me to get into that rhythm of just like, you know, what am I doing? So, yeah, I know
well,
what you're...
Yeah, I mean, of course, I had been exposed to Europe when I was a child. I mean, my father is a Frenchman, and so I had lived here for a while. But, you know, when I hooked up with my wife, Lisa, and it was time for us to move to Europe, I mean, when I sat on that runway at JFK, I didn't look back.
Mm-hmm.
That plane took off, and I was just like... like you want me to do on your program.
Hey, Alon, we're out of time for this segment.
But thanks. You really crystallized my feelings very well.
Well, thanks for checking in the way you do, Alon. I appreciate it. Take care. We'll talk again, okay?
Yes. And praise Molly.
Okay. Thank you, Alon. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
They say that we are free and we must fight to be number one. So when the army calls, I'll grab my TV, my car, and my gun. And the TV God watches over me, opens up my eyes, shows me how to see. All around the world, every night and day, on my TV.
Truth seekers, gather round the campfire. It's more Mike Malloy.
It is 10 before the hour. And let's go back to the calls. Connie is calling from Washington, D.C., listening on XM. Hey, Connie. Hey.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Fine, thanks. I wanted to call specifically about the politicians. I'm a psychotherapist in the D.C. area,
uh-huh.
And I am absolutely convinced that most of the right-wingers suffer from full-blown narcissistic personality disorder, which lends itself to, you know, lack of empathy, and justifies the means, and it's not reality based. The problem is with the media sort of just following what they say and spewing it out without questioning basic untruths, it just perpetuates this myth that that they're somehow based in reality.
And
my hope is that they'll be exposed for what they are, and they're heartless, and they're criminals, and I believe that you know what happened with 9/11, you know, afterwards the right wingers sort of using it to their own advantage. Really set us back, and we're on a course that we're going to have a hard time recovering from in this country.
I think you're right. You know, when you talk about, you hope that they would be exposed. So do I. But exposed to whom? You know, it would seem to me, Connie, that all a person has to do is tune into one Rush Limbaugh program, one Glenn Beck program, one Sean Hannity program, and come away realizing that what that person, that listener just heard was, first of all, just pure obscenity, because it is based in lies, deception, paranoia, real mental illness. But that's not what happens. So what does happen more often than not, and this is certainly a comment on this society, is people listen to that and then, like doing meth made up in the kitchen, they go back for more and more and more until, just like the meth heads, they become zombies, just incapable. So, you know, I worry about exposed to who? Those of us who understand this madness, like you obviously do, and a lot of people listen to this program do, we already get it. And to the meth heads who eat what these right-wingers say on radio and television, think of a way, because I can't. I'm not challenging you. I'm just saying, how in the world, who are they going to expose themselves to? Who's going to see it? You see what I'm saying?
Right. I do believe, and I don't know if this is idealistic, but I do believe that the people that actually follow Limbaugh and Beck are very, a very small percentage of the population. My guess is probably about 12 or 13%. Then there's a large mass of people who are afraid, I think, to really challenge their own beliefs about the country, to challenge political leaders that just go about their business and don't really even talk with friends and neighbors about how they feel.
Right.
And I go back again to 9/11, because, you know, there's a huge percentage. I was originally from New York, and I work with a lot of trauma victims from 9/11, and there's a feeling that, you know, that this country and the administration in particular really, you know, was probably involved with some criminal sort of acts,
right.
Especially the people that lost loved ones are pretty certain about that, and they just feel like that the amount of fear in the country about speaking out has gotten so much stronger that they just feel like it's better off just to sort of crawl under a rock and just forget it.
Sure.
But the problem is, what I think especially with George Bush is, you know, it's this overriding sort of, you know, sort of pink elephant in the room that you can't escape it. I mean, you just feel like he's, and you add the torture aspect to it, and the wiretapping, and and all the other violations, and the lying about weapons of mass destruction, and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, what has happened to this? What has happened to this country?
Right.
And every media person, every mainstream media person is okay with it, condoning it, and talking about Anna Nicole Smith and talking about the Octomom and talking about things that are really just not important in the scheme of things. And you start to feel sort of hopeless that every single person that that you sort of trusted in terms of the news is not really... Is not really doing their job. You know, and you go back to New York Times. I think a lot of people haven't bought the New York Times because, you know, they've sold out for the most part. You have an, you know, good, article here and there, but for the most part, they just toe the line like the rest of the papers.
You know? Well, Connie, I hear what you're saying. And listen, thanks. We have a break coming here. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
I hope you'll call in again. I hear what you're saying, and I completely agree. And it just calls into sharp relief once again the comparison between the silence that is afoot in this country and the silence that was afoot in Germany in the 30s. I mean, to me, it does. We have three open lines here. You want to talk? Give us a call. 877-99-MALLOY. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It is about 7 after the hour. I'm going to come to your phone calls here in just a second. A couple of emails I want to share with you. Hernan writing from Buenos Aires, Argentina. Mike, the guy talking right now on the phone is right on the money. That would be Alan from Helsinki. Hernan writes, when you live outside the U.S., you can see Fox News on cable and reality from other sources. Watching Fox News fueled my need of your show like any drug ever known, not only because of the truth the show delivers, but for the need to complement the insanity of U.S. media with some coherent word of wisdom. Really, Mike, you'd be amazed and shocked the minute you stamp your passport, even if it's Argentina, Brazil, Canada, or even Russia. Whether you read, watch, or see the news by yourself, you would encounter in most of the times real news. And something that's even more disturbing, the people in the United States that watch the BS expelled from the mouth of Beck, Hannity, or Limbaugh believe it, all of it. Outside your borders, we see the same circus and we laugh because that's what it is, circus. Regards, Hernan in Buenos Aires, Argentina. I'm always impressed with the command of English of so many of the people who listen to this program outside the United States. I mean, I realize Alan is, I believe English was his first language, but Hernan is, you know, English is not his first language, and I'm always impressed with his emails. And then this one, and then back to the back to your calls. This is from TL, who writes, Aloha again. Alrighty now, I've had a couple of days to absorb this latest slap in the face by the Obama team, the effort by the Obama Department of Justice to sweep all the wiretap crap under the rug. First, let me say, if I had it my way, Dennis Kucinich would be president right now. I would even have settled for the philanderer John Edwards. My first choice, Al Gore, never threw his hat in. Having said that, I am proud of President Obama, though not an apologist. I do wish he were a progressive. So here's my question. Is it at all possible that Obama wants this wiretapping case to be challenged all the way up to the Supreme Court? Has he not guaranteed as much by gratuitously claiming this sovereignty clause? Have they not opened the door for the whole Patriot Act to be examined as to its constitutionality as well, or at least that part of it? Isn't the sovereignty clause like a poison pill that the Supreme Court will not be able to swallow? Won't they have to declare this whole mess unconstitutional? Maybe Obama is using his unpopularity among the righties to work for us. One would think that Scalia, Roberts, Thomas, and Alito would balk at making a Democrat president sovereign. Not being an attorney, though, I would not know about procedure. I could be sounding like a complete dumbass. I'm not even sure what level this case is currently at. Perhaps you could shed some light. Hell, I don't know. It's a stretch at best. In fact, it hurts my brain to think about it for too long. The president is a smart guy, though. Maybe he knows what he is doing, and Michelle is his confidant. All I know is that when I first heard the sovereignty claim, I laughed in disbelief. It seems so outlandish. How could a constitutional law professor of any note utter the words sovereignty in that manner while making a legal argument regarding that document? I will truly be disgusted and probably will become a full-blown greenie if, well, just if. P.S. God sure must hate the South. Mega storms in the Bible Belt and brush fires in Texas and Oklahoma, if one believes in that sort of hokum. T.L. raises the points that in a less coherent way I've tried to raise. At least go, you know, T.L. is not screaming obscenities in the microphone the way I do, but, yeah, I hope that's the case. Wouldn't that be a piece of cake, huh? Wouldn't that be a punch right in the Adam's apple to every right winger in this country if it made its way, this case made its way to the Supreme Court, and this right wing neo-fascist Supreme Court, in order to remove any possibility that Barack Obama might consider himself eligible for the sovereign immunity clause, they would have to rule that the whole thing was unconstitutional. Wouldn't that be just absolutely a complete and total knee slapper? I might have to go eat a few mics just to celebrate that. I mean, I don't know, TL. Maybe you're onto something. At least you give me something to hope to hope about. Okay, Robin is calling from Central California, listening on Sirius. Hey, Robin.
How's it going, Mike?
It's going pretty good.
It's your favorite fish smoker on the road.
Oh, hey. How you doing, Robin? Yeah. All right. Robin, let me just share this. Robin gave me a chunk of smoked salmon on one of my trips. When was that? When I went to Sacramento?
Seattle for the town hall back last summer.
That's right. He gave me some smoked salmon that had been vacuum packed, and we got home. I got home here, and Kathy can't eat fish. She's got some kind of a enzyme missing. But I'll tell you something. That was the best damn fish I have ever eaten in my life. Oh my God! But anyway, all right, Robin.
Just so you know, there's another care package on the way sometime in the next couple of weeks.
Hallelujah.
you got to do something about the old music, Mike.
What? We're playing Brubeck tonight. You don't like Dave Brubeck?
Oh, is that what that was?
Yeah, you might have heard some. You know, Brubeck was really, you know, was one of the jazz musicians back in the 50s who really.
Who
moved jazz into the forefront. The Dave Brubeck Trio, they did some amazing things. I kind of like that CD.
It didn't sound too much like jazz. I mean, here and there it did, but that's all right.
Okay.
That's besides the point. I called Mark Thompson's show the other day and went off on this Glenn Beck thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was right after he did his little show with Chuck Norris.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, Chuck was saying how he was thinking about running for president of Texas and hoping Texas would succeed. After George Bush, I decided that if Texas ever wanted to succeed, I would hold their hand and lead them through it. You know.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, under the rules laid out by the Bush administration, isn't that a terrorist suggestion? Isn't Chuck Norris?
But you know, it's a right winger, so you know, it doesn't apply.
Yeah, I guess not.
But you know, I just went off. I said, Chuck, this isn't TV, and Glenn, here's a little clue for you. There's a lot more of us out here than there are of you. Get a handle on it and realize that, you know, you're not going to survive the first day of it if it ever explodes.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth?
But, Mike, I'm just about to go to your website and enlist for the podcast, and I wanted to let you know that I will also be sending an email to Sirius Satellite Radio, thanking them for carrying your program.
Well, that's great. That's great. I appreciate it.
When they first came out with Sirius, I went, pay for radio? No way. But you're the primary reason that I have it.
Well, thanks a lot. That's very kind, Robin. And I'll look for that package, okay?
Yeah, give Molly and Kathy a squeeze for them.
I'll do it. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Thanks for checking in, Robin. All right, yeah, not Dave Brubeck Trio. Dave Brubeck Quartet. Paul Desmond. Who else was... Who was a drummer in the Dave Brubeck Quartet? I'm drawing a complete blank. I know Bob Bates was on double bass. Paul Desmond was alto sax. Oh, well. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Psst. You're listening to Mike Malloy. Turn down your speakers. It'll be our secret.
It is 21 past the hour. All right, thanks to Rich in Minnesota and Michael in Roswell and Bob. It was Joe Morello, who was the drummer I couldn't think of. Thanks, guys. It's nice to know that there are people out there who can provide that information that quickly. First time I ever heard Take Five album back in the day, I thought, what in the world? Especially Time Out. Blue Rondo a la Turk, that music. Oh, well, I digress. This is talk radio, not a music show, right? Bob is calling from Tulsa, Oklahoma, listening on XM. Hey, Bob. Pretty good.
Good deal. I was just curious. I have heard you, admittedly, I'm one of these right-wing nut jobs here.
Oh, yeah?
Mad ass all night. I was curious. I listened to Glenn Beck fairly often, and I heard you the other night saying something about he was inciting people to violence and wanting these right-wing nut jobs to go kill people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't listen to him daily, so I may have missed it. But I've been
all right. Now, what is it you're wanting me to say? Are you wanting me to say that Glenn Beck has looked into the camera and said, hey, crazy right-wingers, pick up a gun, go kill liberals? Is that what you're wanting me to say?
No, sir. What I'm wanting you to say is, you know, what proof you have, what quote you have, what video clip you have, what you have that's, I'm sure, from my point of view, it will be have been taken out of context.
All right, well, let me ask you this.
I'd like to see your proof.
Let me ask you this. When,
sure.
when Glenn Beck says, does a little skit and identifies himself as President Barack Obama and has, sitting on the set with him, an actor, and Glenn Beck says, this is what President Obama wants to do, to Joe Average, and he takes a gasoline can and he pours clear liquid, obviously it's water, over this clown sitting there and then lights a match. What is that? Is that funny to you?
I happened to see that episode last
yeah,
night.
Yeah, is that funny? Is that fun to watch?
Well, Mike, if I happened to see that episode last night.
Do you think
all what he did?
Do you think? Yes, it's exactly what he did. Are you out of your mind? That little piece.
No.
All right, listen. I'm going
to
give you. Do I have the audio? Yeah, you want to see it? Don't be
no,
a dumbass,
like
Bob. When you call this program, don't be a dumbass. Because
dumbass?
All right, I said don't be a dumbass. Because if you do, you disappear. It's that simple. If you watched the segment, I mean, it's all over the internet. It's all over YouTube. It's all over every single, liberal website out there where Glenn Beck does exactly what I said. The thing that really pisses me off about you right wingers, you don't understand nuance, subtlety, context, nothing. You're a bunch of brain-dead dumbasses. Somebody has to walk up to you with a gun and say, I am going to kill you, before you understand that somebody is out to kill you. Do me a favor. Don't call again, because when somebody calls my radio program and we're talking about a piece of video and they say, well, show it to me, I'm pretty convinced you're out of your goddamn mind. Okay? So don't call again. Please. Thank you. You can listen if you want to, and you can go to MikeMalloy.com and get a subscription. Just don't call. Thank you. I'm not going to go off and I'm not going to waste any time with it, but it's that kind of insanity that just, oh man, I don't know. Go away, whatever your name was. I forget. From TPMMuckraker.com, that's Talking Points Memo. Zachary Roth writes, it's not just the state secrets clause that Obama's trying to invoke. Zachary Roth writes, Obama is continuing Bush's stonewalling on Guantanamo cases. That's according to a lawyer representing some of these people. This is what Zachary Roth presents. Yesterday, we told you about the Obama Justice Department's invocation of a sweeping state secrets privilege in a warrantless wiretapping case. But that may not be the only area in which the new administration's war on terror tactics recall the worst excesses of the Bush years. Oh, we have a break here? Oh, great. Okay, we'll come back and finish this up. It's relatively brief, but I want you to hear this because it raises a couple of good points. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. I know.
up to the flying monkey right. It's Mike Malloy.
Twenty-five before the hour. All right, I was quoting from Zachary Roth, writing at tpmmuckraker.com today, TPM Talking Points Memo, tpmmuckraker.com, about another issue around the Obama administration's continuing Bush policies. Roth writes, last year the Supreme Court ruled that detainees at Guantanamo have the right to appeal their detentions in federal courts, but since then only a few cases have been completed. And in an interview with TPM Muckraker, David Sinnerman, a lawyer for four Kuwaiti Gitmo detainees who are bringing habeas corpus claims against the government, said that the Justice Department has been consistently dragging its heels in the case, denying detainees their basic due process rights and furthering what he called the abandonment of the rule of law. Sinnerman said, the Department of Justice has been doing everything in its power to delay and obstruct these cases. His clients were picked up in the Afghanistan-Pakistan region in the period after the 2001 U.S. invasion of Afghanistan. I believe that was 2002. They're not doing anything to move the case along, the attorney said, and doing everything to avoid it. Asked whether he had observed a shift of any kind in the government's approach since the Obama administration came into office, Sinnerman flatly replied, none whatsoever. He also added, the attorney did, this has been to me the biggest disappointment and mystery. It did not surprise me in the slightest that the Bush administration would do everything in its power to subvert the Supreme Court's ruling. I expected that. What I did not expect is that there would be absolutely zero change in the Stonewall strategy when the new administration came in, end quote. Sinnerman said he didn't expect to see a change on January 21st, but, quote, there's been enough time now that you can't simply say it's still operating on autopilot from the previous administration. So I've been disappointed and frustrated not to see a change. Yeah, that's, and there's more. You can go to tpmmuckraker.com and read the whole thing. But, absolutely. When the Supreme Court, the conservative Supreme Court ruled against the Bush crime family, you know, it made it to at least page 3 in the New York Times and maybe page 10 in the Washington Post, I guess. But that ruling was months ago. And, you know, you got to stop and wonder, once the Supreme Court rules, it can't go anyplace else, at least as far as the courts are concerned. It can go back into the legislative process, whatever it happens to be, and a new law can be written, and then the process can start all over again. But based on the Supreme Court ruling, and what else do we base the law on, if not Supreme Court rulings, for God's sake? It is unconstitutional to do what the now Obama administration is doing where it concerns these detainees. So it is very difficult not to start jumping up and down and screaming about the extra constitutional activities of the Obama administration. Sure, 70, 80 days, that's all. Everything is on his plate. We certainly understand that. But like the torture issue, this is essential to our identity. If we are not a nation of laws, then let's goddamn stop pretending we are. And the highest law in the country is the Constitution. How we are constituted. What we are. It identifies us. And no one, like the attorney says, no one was surprised that the Bush crime family said screw you to the Supreme Court when they ruled, hey, yo, you're out of order. You can't do this. But the Obama administration? So when the issues are torture and the denial of habeas corpus, then we are the Soviet Union. We are pre-Magna Carta. We are Nazi Germany. We are not who we like to think we are. Now, if I get that, and you get that, and Roth gets it at TPM Muckraker, and anyone with the sense evolution gave a sack of doorknobs gets it, then why doesn't the Obama Justice Department get off of its ass and do something very quickly? Let the goddamn war wait. Let the depression wait. Try to reclaim at least a piece of our essential character that was eaten alive and destroyed by the Bush crime family, because everything else comes from that. Now, this is the part that drives me crazy. And this is also the part that gives these filthy, piggish, disgusting right-wingers just enough of an edge to say to their brain-dead followers, look, he's violating the Constitution. Jesus. I wish somebody in Eric Holder's office would say, you know, since we are the office of the chief law enforcement officer in the United States, the Attorney General, don't you think we ought to start enforcing the law? But maybe not. Sean is calling from Charleston, South Carolina, listening on XM. Hey, Sean.
Hi, Mike. It's a pleasure to talk to you. You're like one of my heroes.
Hero ain't nothing but a sandwich, but I'm glad you like the program.
Yeah, I love the program. It's motivated me to continue to do investigation on different things from, I guess, I'm behind enemy lines in the conservative area down here in Charleston.
I feel your pain, brother.
I've been watching what's been going on with the pirates off the coast of Africa, and I've been listening to some of these right-wing nutbags say that they're terrorists. And upon more investigation, I found out that one of the main problems may be is that these container ships and different industry and commercial industry have been dumping toxins into the water, killing off their fishing economy. So how do they feed their family in a place like Somalia? They go out and they attempt to rob vessels.
Well, I saw basically the same story or the same point of view, and there's a part of me that wants to agree with that. But let's get real here for a second, okay? Probably the capitalist owned ships that ply through those waters and spew their garbage and their toxins into the sea have created an awful lot of damage. You're right. U.S. policy, or not U.S. necessarily, but the policies of Italy during World War II, the policies or prior to World War II, back when Mussolini decided he was going to take over North Africa. All of these policies by these imperialist European or American countries have worked to destroy development or just life as these people have known it. Now, does that justify boarding a tanker? I'm not talking about the case here, but boarding a tanker and holding people hostage and demanding $1 million or $5 million or $10 million, that's a lot of damn fish. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I can agree with that. I understand where you're
okay.
coming from.
Now, they have a point of view, and it should be presented. There should be an international court of law where they can have their case heard. This particular ship that was hijacked, that's all over the news, that was on a relief mission, is my understanding. I don't know. Somebody may be BSing all of us about this, but they were on a relief mission to Mombasa, where this food and water and medical supplies were desperately needed. Now, of course, the ship went on. It's already in port, and they're holding the captain. They're surrounded by U.S. Navy ships with a flick of a fingernail could turn them into a memory. But, you know, the American is there. So I hear what you're saying. And I did see that same point of view, that same article, whatever it was. But, this is like, blowing people up because blowing up innocent people because you disagree with some point of view. I can't go there. Yeah, I'm sure you understand, don't you, Sean?
Yeah, I understand. Okay. And one more point I want to bring up, Mike, and maybe you can enlighten us on this. With this upcoming Tea Party thing, what should be the progressive liberal response to that?
Ignore it. These are fools. Are they planning one in Charleston Harbor?
I'm not sure. Right now, in our situation, what we're dealing with is a governor that won't take stimulus money. So
yeah,
we've set up tent cities and stuff like that to go after him.
We're ignoring
the nutbags and trying to take care of the people.
I hear that. Sean, I got to go. Listen, here's what I would suggest as far as a liberal or progressive or no, just a normal person regarding these dumbass tea bag parties in the first place. Stop one of those teabaggers and say, can you tell me exactly what the historical reference is between what you're doing and what the colonists did a couple of hundred years ago? Can you tell me exactly what it was all about? Watch them turn into gibbering idiots and then just turn your back and walk away. You know what I'm saying? It's about 10 before the hour. My goodness, another week over. We're taking Molly on an Easter egg hunt tomorrow. Program was engineered by Kathy Bay. Ben Birch is our technical advisor. Sharon Gordy, this program's military affairs correspondent. Ethical advisors are Bob Alexander and Bridget Wolf. Bruce Enberg, our economic correspondent, and the executive producer also is Kathy Bay. Thanks to everybody for the week.
Don't say Easter egg hunt. Some of those atheists might be listening.
The Easter egg hunts have zero to do with the risen Christ. Trust me on that one.
How about the risen hot cross bun?
Yeah, that's true. Risen hot cross buns. I can barely hear you when you talk. Are we having more microphone problems?
Can you hear me now?
There you go. Chris writes in, Dear Mr. Malloy, can you please show more patience with your right-wing callers? I listened to your show as a spot of sanity in an otherwise insane world. I don't have the patience to speak to people who are clearly clueless, but you, on the other hand, could help countless people like me if you show us how to disarm your right-wing callers. I mean, maybe a 30-second rule. Let them state their case in one or two sentences and stop. You ask them a question, preferably a simple yes or no. If they fail to promptly respond, you tell them the answer and ask one more yes or no question with the same rules. And in the case of a multimedia current event, always have the audio to totally discredit them before ending the call. That's my two cents, Chris. Whew. Anything else?
My God, it sounds like a game show. Is there a prize?
I know it does. No, Chris.
When does the buzzer go off?
Chris, I've been in this business for 22 years. During that time, I have tried... let me think. I've been keeping track here. Here it is. 17,864,921 times to get these dumb bastards to either A, put a sentence together coherently, B, state their case in much the same way you've laid out, or C, just to give any reason why they're alive. And none of those answers have ever been answered. So, questions have ever been answered to any satisfaction whatsoever. So, Chris... when I get right-wingers on the phone, it's kind of like when you were a kid and you used to stick things into frogs or you'd step on worms on the sidewalk after a rainstorm. I frankly don't give a damn about the opinion of individual right-wing callers because I know what their opinions are. There has never in the history of this program ever been a right-wing caller whose ideas were 1 millimeter outside the box put together by Rush Limbaugh. Never. So Sorry, Chris. I appreciate your suggestion, but the quick answer, no. Randy is listening in Burbank, California, on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Randy.
Okay, Mike. What's happening is I really got off of Stephen from Burbank, but that's okay.
Oh, I called you Randy. I'm sorry. I mean Stephen. My bad.
That's okay. My take on what I'm seeing is with these right-wing clowns, you know, they're trying to stir up their shock troops to go out and start shooting up stuff, and it's not working. It's not working as much as they want to. And I just don't know what to say. They're cowards. I mean, you see all the foreclosures. You see people losing their houses. How many of those people were the contractors with the Dooleys, you know, that had the Bush, Cheney bumper stickers and all that? When were they fighting when the county marshal showed up to evict them?
Right.
And, you know, as far as media influencing people, well, we know all about that. There was a Dateline thing happening on NBC broadcast about the financial meltdown.
Uh-huh.
And the first one was about the scams of the, you know, the arm loans, you know, and lying
right.
about the.
Right.
And then the second one was the credit cards, and then we didn't get a third one.
Mm-hmm.
Week after week. And then finally they put one on, and it was some kind of weak, watered down little version of nothingness. And my take on this, what I think they were going to go after on the third episode were the hedge funds. And, you know, how the hedge funds go in and what they do and how they destroy and eat up everything alive, you know, is pure unadulterated vampiristic capitalism. And they just said, hey, we can't do this. And, you know, and I heard you talk about Obama and our president, and what I'm thinking is, well, you know, he has strings attached to him. We know it.
Yeah.
Rope-a-dope and all that stuff.
I hope that's the case, Stephen. I really do, although it's getting harder and harder to fall back, you know, into that default position. But listen, Stephen, we're about out of time. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. You know, as far as the box that Rush Limbaugh constructed that these little evil little sons of bitches like Glenn Beck run around in, if you doubt that, remember it was Limbaugh. Remember his Operation Chaos for the Democratic Convention out in Denver? Remember that? That's when it got serious. That obese, drug-addicted son of a bitch is the one who set the tone. I can't talk about Limbaugh without feeling my blood pressure go up, because he has done more to damage this country than any single individual ever in the history of this country. He's done more to damage this country than Tojo. He did more to damage this country than Stalin, Hitler, or whatever hijackers came to this country on September 11, 2001. Rush Limbaugh is a one-man destruction machine. He is the biggest threat to freedom, justice, and truth that I think this country has ever vomited up. But just remember, it was Limbaugh who set the tone.
And I will never forget Glenn Beck saying he could strangle Michael Moore with his bare hands. Either.
Yeah, well, you know, it's murder and mayhem. So, dumbass right winger, if you're still listening, there you go. I'll see you Monday. Have a great weekend. Take care. Keep it lit, okay? And, have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are.